is making God more angry than, you know, them grumbling against them within their own people, grumbling and being upset? I think it does. I think it does. So Israel has joined the Baal, verse 3. Verse 4, then the Lord said to Moses, take all the leaders of the people and hang the offenders before the Lord out in the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel. So Moses said to the judges of Israel, every one of you kill his men who were joined to Baal of Peor. Oh, we got it. Okay, we're getting there. We're getting there, guys. And indeed, one of the children of Israel came and presented to his brethren a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. All right, let's read that again. One of the children of Israel came and presented to his brethren a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel. What were they doing at the tent of meeting at the door? They were weeping. All right, we're going to read a little bit why they're weeping. All right, for you guys who read ahead, why are they in such dread? Why are they weeping at this point? Okay, I'll tell you. We'll read on a little bit more. All right, okay, here it is, Phineas. Okay. Mouth of brass. This is where I've always wondered, when these guys are born, do they know, okay, you're going to be a mouth of brass, I'm going to name you Phineas. Or his actions throughout history, that's how his name gets defined. Any older or wiser people can tell me the answer to that? Please let me know. Okay. He is the son of Eleazar. He is the grandson of Aaron. And we know that Aaron and Eleazar, very excellent leaders, right? Very zealous towards God. And I really think that that's how, this lineage is very, very interesting to me. So his ties in history are the wilderness wandering. He was probably born halfway through the wilderness wanderings because his dad, Eleazar, was but a teenager once the wandering started. So I'm thinking in this segment of time when Phineas is introduced to us, he's probably in his early 20s. He ties together this last encampment before going to Canaan in the Valley of Shittim. Another history tie is that, you know, Moses is stepping down and Joshua is taking command of Israel. We read about Balak and Balaam and, of course, the conquest of Canaan. All right, so I'm going to get through that. I'm going to go back here in a second. So they're moving up this side here. They're coming up the side. And here's the valley that we're talking about. And this valley is interesting. This place is interesting because one of the last acts of Phineas takes us right back to this area here as well. So this is where they're at, getting ready to go in to Canaan. Okay. All right. So we talked about this. All right. So I'm going to let the cat out of the bag here. The Baal worship at Peor and Shittim. There's numbers we talked about. And there's a plague that killed 24,000 people. What? That's why these guys are weeping at the Tent of Tabernacle. That's why they're in such distress. Okay, so that's what's going on. Okay, so here comes this guy. Everyone's at, this is the big picture I get. You got Moses here, you got everyone at the front of the Tabernacle of Meeting. They're weeping. There's a plague going on because they've hooked themselves up with the people of Midian, and they're worshiping Baal. They're distraught, and here comes this guy. Hey, everyone, look. I have a Midianite woman. She's so exciting. We're worshiping Baal together. It's such a good, you know, we're all going to be friends here. And verse 7. Now Phineas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, and he rose from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her body. So the plague was stopped among the children of Israel. And those who died in the plague were 24,000. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, has turned back my wrath, capitalized my, from the children of Israel, because he was zealous with my zeal among them, so that I did not consume the children of Israel in my zeal. Therefore say, behold, I give to him my covenant of peace, and it shall be to him and his descendants after him a covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made atonement for the children of Israel. Now the name of the Israelite that was killed, it goes into who he was, but he was the son of a leader of Israel, and the Midianite woman was the daughter of a Midianite leader as well. I'm going to pull out a couple things here. Verse 11. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, has turned back my wrath from the children of Israel, because he was zealous with my zeal. All right? Let me pull something out of that. Have you ever met a zealous person with God's zeal? You know, it's... Have you met these guys? Have you heard about these guys? A unwatered-down approach. An unwatered, unwavering approach to reading the Word, having a good heart, and able to point out and go to someone and get your spear and go, what are you doing? You know, I'm going to stand for God. Have you met these guys? I have. It's we were at a group meeting last night, and it was very nice to hear from the generations before us, all right? And I like hearing those stories. I like knowing, hey, there was right and there was wrong. There's not everything, everyone is just going to be okay. One faith, one religion, one baptism. Bob, I didn't actually write all this down, but he had a very interesting example of Brother Puckett. Of how he put, there's one way, right? There's one way to serve God with his zeal, right? So I take that back and I think about the Israelites. They're camped out. God is upset. He's like, you're my people. You're my set apart. But now you're going to water it down. Okay, you're going to water it down a little bit, and you're going to worship some of these other gods. You're going to take some things that they like to do and bring them in and be their friends. No, I don't want that for you. I don't want you to be like that. So when Phinehas came up, he's like, what is this? This guy is... What is the guy's name here? I can't find his name right now. It's like, this is not happening on my watch. You know, I'm going to... It might be right, it might be wrong, but I don't care. He was so zealous, he just came in and took action. So, that's what I get out of what Phinehas did. And God rewarded him. He said, okay, you're going to have my covenant of peace, and you're the guy who turned back my wrath. And I look at this story, and we've heard it before, right? We've all heard the story of Phinehas, and when I told someone who I was preaching on, the first thing that came to their mind was, I'm sorry, I'm not preaching, I'm teaching. Not teaching, I'm just presenting information, all right? Just presenting. Hopefully you guys are teaching me. The first thing that came to thought was the spear, all right? When you were growing up, did you look up to, who'd you look up to, you know? When you saw heroes, what did these heroes do when you're growing up? Not necessarily biblical heroes, but secular heroes. Were these guys that took a stand for something? Were those guys, or was it the person that tried to get along with everybody, in a sense, or they sacrificed some of their zeal and some of their heart to smooth things over? Who did you look up to? And I look at this, and sometimes I think, you know, I'm not being as zealous as I need to be. I'm not making a good enough stand, because these guys, they say, you know, this is not going to happen on my watch. All right. And I can't believe what this guy was thinking here, bringing this person he's probably been worshiping Baal with, to present him as a wife in front of all the congregation. So, any comments? I've been talking a lot. If not, I'll keep talking. Brian, you're going to help me out? Thank you. Talk real loud. Do you think Phineas might have offended somebody when he did this? Probably. I think he probably offended the guy that, you know, he ran through with the spear, right? I'm making another point about this. I remember, any other comments besides what Brian had? Okay. All right. you know, it I believe, and I feel, you know, it depends on our hearts, right? One, to be zealous, but also if one is practicing zeal on us, it's our heart that tells us, you know, that guy's right. I need to change. I'll bring it down to a real life example here. I attended a congregation many years ago. And there was a social relationship with a few of the members that was inappropriate. And there was some coaxing going on of, hey, let's try and change this around. Let's do some of this. Let's do some of that. But the congregation as a whole knew that this relationship was still going on. And I remember talking to the preacher. And I said, brother, what? That zealous fever that you had, you know, your fervor. Remember how you used to really be inspired? You really used to come out and say things and get us thinking. And I could tell it was really affecting him, because he just felt like things, you know, things just were not being taken care of. All right. And I remember the next lesson on Sunday, and he had one of the most inspiring lessons. Talk about the sin of compromise, right? That's what he talked about, the sin of compromise. About 15 people came forward that day, all the elders, all the leaders of the congregation, and said, you know, we have not addressed this appropriately. Thank you for letting us know about this. But these guys, or Phineas and his, the Israelites were compromising. And sometimes it takes someone to come and point that out to us and be zealous for God's zeal. And it's up to us on how we take it. Say, hey, and I've been approached sometimes for me to correct some things, right? And it depends on my heart if I decide to accept it, but at least someone came and told me, right? And I appreciate that person. So, any comments? Yes. Yes, it's that flashpoint, some people like to say. It was just too much. It was enough. And this was a flashpoint that drove the point home, literally drove the point home. Yes, Taylor. I love how you put things, Taylor. So good. So good. Any other comments? Did everyone hear Taylor's comment? Way back here in the back corner. It's a good. I like the projection. Excellent. Yes.
Changing God's mind over things. God actually does pay attention to each and every one of us. And he does pay attention to what we do. And he said in verse 11, when we read it, that he has turned away my wrath from the sons of Israel. He didn't wait for someone else to do it. He didn't wait for one of the leaders to do it, or one of the, you know, the chief men in his tribe, or anything else. He did.
Thank you. One person can make a big difference. Okay. Yes.
I was going to make kind of the same comment. It seems like God, as long as there are remnant of people who are faithful, when they find 50 people, they drop. God just wants to see that there are some people that he knows that the world is always going to be that way. The ability of just one person or just a small group of people can turn away God's anger from a whole nation.
Okay, okay. And you're going to, and I appreciate those comments, and you, and as that one person standing up, you might not do it 100% right, but you're doing something, right? You're addressing the problem, you're addressing the issue, and it really depends on the heart of the other person, of how they respond. So, so I told you I would bring it back around, right, to Balaam somehow. Let's go to chapter 31. Chapter 31. I think it was Aaron who said, they're going to take the census of the people, right? Who was with me, who's not with me? Oh, we're going to go into Canaan here pretty soon. So they took a census of the people, but it's interesting. In chapter 31, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take vengeance on the Midianites for the children of Israel. Afterward, you shall be gathered to your people. All right, Moses, the last thing you're going to do is you're going to take care of these Midianites. All right? They corrupted my people, so before you die, you're going to take care of them. Which I thought was, okay, this is, all right, God's really upset at these guys. So Moses spoke to the people, saying, let's go up against the Midianites, take vengeance for the Lord on Midian, and 1,000 from each tribe. I'm going to run through here real quick. Then Moses, verse 6, and Moses sent to them to the war, each 1,000 from each tribe, and he sent to the war with Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, with the holy articles and the signal trumpets in his hand. And they warred against the Midianites, just as the Lord had commanded Moses, and they killed all the males. They killed the kings of Midian, the rest of those who were killed, Evi, Rechem, Zor, Hur, and Reba. Sorry, Reba. The five kings of Midian, Balaam, the son of Beor, they also killed with the sword. Okay? And the children of Israel took the women of Midian captive, with their little ones, and took as spoil all their cattle, all their flocks, and all their goods. And they also burned with fire all the cities where they dwelt, in all their forts. And they took all the spoil and all the booty of the man and the beast. So they brought the captives and the spoil to Moses, to Eleazar the priest, and to the congregation, the children of Israel, to the camp in the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho. And Moses, Eleazar the priest, and all the leaders of the congregation went to meet them outside the camp. But Moses was very angry with the officers of the army, with the captains over thousands and captains over hundreds who had come from the battle. And Moses said to them, have you kept all the women alive? Look, these women caused the children of Israel, through the counsel of Balaam, to trespass against the Lord in the incident of Peor. There's Balaam again, right? Once again, it's so interesting to me how the Balaam and Balak incident and then this plague incident, they're all together. They're all intermingled. So not only did Balaam say, I can't curse the Israelites, I can't do it, but he found another way to hurt Israel. Through his counsel, he said, this is how you get Israel. Let's get these Israelites worshiping Baal through the women. Let's get their hearts turned aside. Right? And that was the counsel of Balaam in order to destroy Israel. And he killed 24,000 people, Balaam, by his instruction of how to get the Israelites. Subtle. Not a head-on approach, but a very subtle approach, leading the men astray. Any comments on that? I just thought that was a very interesting point. Bob. Brother Owen. Brother Bob. Yes.
I think there's a big message as to what the children of Israel as a group fell into on this, when you remember. Now, many of the older ones had died off, but these are the children of the people who had been captive in Egypt, who had experienced the they so easily turn to the side of God and worship the idols. So there's a lesson to us that one generation born to just be washed away.
Those life experiences, those passions that they had, passionate towards God, seeing the miraculous things that have happened. And I can even think generationally with us, you know. The battles we fought 40 years ago, the battles that were fought 30 years ago. It's a new generation now. What did we learn then? How can we teach the young generation now, my generation, of y'all's generation? It's the elders, in a sense, teaching the younger. We want to know, you know, what was the zeal like then? Things were right and wrong, right? And postmodernism? Is that what it's called? Yeah. I just know that it just means that everyone's okay, everything's all right. You believe what you want to believe. And you believe what you want to believe, and it'll be okay. All right. So, for us, what I get out of it is exactly the same. Is those things that were done have been forgotten about. And those experiences, the life experiences that ground our faith, you know, generationally, we have different experiences. So, and what was fought then aren't fought now, but they are in the same sense, but who is taking that zealous stand to say, enough is enough? And Phineas did this, enough is enough. This is not how it's supposed to be. If, yes, Brian Hoagland. Yeah, you know, when we remove ourselves from the world, let's not leave a little piece of the world in there the where it can corrupt us again. And that's the example that I really see here. And what, you know, Phineas should be all of our heroes. All of our heroes. Okay, so that's what we talked about then. And then, of course, in Joshua, it talked about the altar of witness. And remember this here, where they're at with this whole issue? Well, when the land is divided, all right, when the land is divided, finally, we have another situation right in the same area, right in this area here. and it's going to be in Joshua chapter 22. We'll talk about that real fast, make some applications. Verse 10, and when they came, this is after they had conquered Canaan, and they're divided up the land, and when they came to the region of the Jordan, which is in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh built an altar there by the Jordan, a great, impressive altar. So the children of Israel get really upset, and they say, what are you guys doing? Are you setting up a different altar to worship God? This is not what God instructed us to do. Don't you remember the Midianites and Peor and the plague? We're not going to have that happen again. So, of course, Phineas is involved, right? He takes up a lot of men, and they're going to go do battle with with Manasseh, Gad, and Reuben, right in this area. And it's interesting that the altar gets put right here as well, very close, or maybe in the same exact spot of where this plague had originally happened. And the altar witness, they say, no, guys, this is, we're not going to sacrifice in an inappropriate way. This is just an altar of witness so our children can remember what happens. And that we are also, we're all brethren together. So, once again, Phinehas and his zeal gets down to the heart of the matter. And thank you guys for your comments. We're done. Appreciate you guys listening to me. And read up on Stephen for next week.